cliffcentral.com. I must tell you about my trip just now, because we've got to do the window seat. And, you know, you also have traveled all over, so I want to hear some of your stories too. So it's an opportunity for us to do this. I traveled with the one of our clients, team from Tourvest, who are just doing amazing stuff.
I mean, saw you were with Monet there.
He was at the rugby final.
So you came back and he went.
Listen to this. He was at the semi-final against England. Then he flew, met us. Then he went back for the final.
Yeah.
Money's nice, ne?
Yeah, but also these guys, they know travel like you can't believe. It's just, it's unbelievable when you're dealing with people who are so filled in. And obviously, you know, they've got all kinds of clients all over the place and they look after them. And they've got this brilliant system that does all your bookings for you. And it's really clever. It's like they're not just doing what travel agents in the old days used to do, actually developing the technology. And that's something we can export, which is amazing.
It's so great, right? But like, is it like we are talking about this? It's not like a holiday, how we picture it, like beach bums and whatnot. You were had
this
itinerary.
Trip?
Yeah, this is like,
okay,
yeah,
so the main purpose of this trip for them was that they were doing a conference and they invited a whole lot of their franchisees. So these are people from small little businesses, big ones, and everyone gets together. We had a couple of sessions where they were, I mean, I wasn't involved in this.
I was going to ask, like, were you just the tag along?
No, so I did do a little talk and I facilitated one of their panel discussions for them, but that was kind of by the by.
Yeah.
It wasn't the real reason to be there. We started off in Athens and we ended up in Rome, and it was really only properly like 4.5 days of travel.
Oh.
But amazing, like what you could pack in. Like I did Rome on Thursday. Thursday, I had half the day. We arrived on the ship in what they call Civita Vecchia, which is the little port there. Went through to the hotel, dropped our bags off, got onto a bus, and we're in Rome by maybe 1.
Mm.
Between 1 and 11 o'clock that night, saw everything that you needed to see. Mm. I mean, just had the most amazing. And you know, for me, history,
yeah,
it's like heaven. Like a kid in a candy store.
I can picture this.
Yes.
You were even inspired. Like, we saw the pictures. You were even like in your camera mode, photography.
Yeah. I decided I was a great photographer for about 15 minutes.
Cheating with an iPhone.
Then you lost your patience.
Yeah, you're not cheating with an iPhone.
Why was I cheating? Those are all the actual pictures I took, and I didn't apply, I don't know how to apply filters or edit photos.
So some places are that beautiful, hey?
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, you've traveled also all over the place. You were mentioning Finland earlier. It's a place I've never
been to. It's like being in a painting, literally.
It is, right?
Yeah. It's mind-blowing.
Now, here's the question I wanted to ask you, and something we were going to talk about last week, but I also couldn't get online because the signal was so bad on the ship in the middle of the sea. So, I mean, what did I think was going to happen? Their cell phone towers sticking out of the sea. Kids who travel, and you'll know this now being a mom who's got kids who are like global citizens, right?
Yeah.
If kids get to see the world early on, and I look at my two little nephews, I sometimes think they're a bit spoiled, but then, for example, they're going to go on their first proper international trip now. And the eldest one is turning 10 in January.
Mm.
And the younger one is 2 years younger than him. I think these are the luckiest kids. Because my first overseas trip was, I was probably 20.
Mm. Me too, actually.
So I think I would have been way more world-wise, interesting.
Mm.
Like you just broadens your whole experience of the world. And I know this, I don't want to pile more pressure on parents who are already going, oh, school fees, eggs. You were just talking about college for your kids. But now travel, because these kids, you want them to see the world and become like learn another language from somewhere else. And it's, I mean, if you do meet people who started traveling at an early age, they just seem to have their wits about them.
True.
They know how to get a taxi in New York. They know how to arrange a train ride through Switzerland. They know what to do if someone steals their wallet. They kind of have an idea of where to go and what to do.
Like
a lot of people who sit around here, they just, you know, and I mean, this was me for most of my my child life and my adolescence. You sit around, you're kind of like, what am I going to do if? You get a bit cabin feverish.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not as open. I think you should. It's, people need to travel. I learned that when I started traveling. But also in South Africa, you know, we are spoiled for choice. If you can't afford to travel, as a parent, I say be more conscious about where you send your kids. If a school has too many people who look exactly like your child and sound like your child, don't send them there. Send them to a place that'll challenge what they think they know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate
there
that.
There we go.
When we were here, my kids were in Sacred Heart. And what I appreciated about Sacred Heart was that economically, the kids were all on different scales, yeah, racially, religious-wise. Because you hear Sacred Heart and you go, ooh, Catholic school.
Did you have nuns? Bruh,
I had, you know that my son taught me a Muslim prayer, which I've forgotten now. But he used to do Muslim prayers before we ate. He was very interested in Islam because he had Muslim friends. And we didn't block that. We were like, well, if that's your journey, go for it. You know, you have your Hindu kids. You had all kinds of kids, you know, African religion, all of. And the school didn't go, well, we're Catholic and that's what we're shoving down your throat. The Catholic kids were doing catechism and every other religion. I'd actually had a time where they'd make like different grades focus on a religion outside of their own.
Yeah.
You have to go research it, do a project on it, and then present it. And for me, I went, this is important, you know. And even their support of, there's an after-school program. I don't know if they still run it, but that after-school program where there's a school that runs after school, and this is for underprivileged kids. I believe most of them were actually foreign nationals as well who are displaced. But this is education that my son would remind me on a Tuesday, I have to pack a sandwich for these kids. And then he got to meet them one time at soccer. And he was like, he doesn't see the difference. He doesn't get it. Why can't they just all come to school at the same time? And there's this whole thing of him to explain that this is what's going on. So long story short, if you are a parent and you're going, yeah, that's great what you're saying, but how do I do it? Challenge yourself to put your child in a school that's diverse.
Yeah, if you can't go to Mecca, you bring Mecca to yourself.
Bruh.
So like if you can't go to the world, you bring the
world. You bring the world to you. Go to spots that are mixed.
But also go to Greece. It's a really, the Acropolis really good.
It's all good. I remember at school though, I was always interested in all the other religions. I remember there was a kid who came when we were in primary school, probably about, what do they call it now, grade 3. And this guy came along and he taught us about Judaism. And then the next week there was a guy who came and he taught us about Buddhism. And we learned a little bit about all these things. Now, I'm not saying you have to accept that and change your life and suddenly, you know, become a pilgrim and go, do all this.
Become a monk.
But I always took an interest in these things. And then obviously that manifested later in life where I became a like devout atheist and decided to beat everybody on the head with it. But, you know, now I kind of see it all from a little bit more objective a distance. And I mean, it's not like it has to be my be all and end all, but I can see if it is someone else's and I don't have to mess with that.
Don't you feel like everything outside of you stops feeling like a threat? Because sometimes we are threatened by things we don't understand. So much.
Yeah, because knowledge is power. So the more you know about something, the more you get to understand why people believe in it. But people have this anti-knowledge thing that they hate, like they hate what they don't understand. And that's the problem. Why don't you challenge yourself to understand?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of the reason I was so thrilled to go on this trip is because I wouldn't necessarily plan to go to Athens. Yeah. So it's an interesting place. Obviously, there's a lot of history there. But it wouldn't have been a destination for a particular trip. But I had a day, not even a day. It was like a morning there. And I woke up super early, climbed up this hill to the Acropolis. And you stand there and you think, this is the place where Pericles, who was the, I mean, this guy was not a fan of democracy by any means. He was a dictator, but he was there ruling over Athens at its absolute apex. And at that stage, it was probably the most advanced city-state in the world. Now, their big rivals, Sparta, were the big military guys, right? So Spartans were much more about conquest and defense, and they would, you know, if your kid was born with like a foot that was slightly like Cyril's, they'd throw you off the
pit. They'd throw you into the pit.
Yeah, leave you out for the vultures to eat. Yeah. And so they were much more hardcore. But Athens was about philosophy and thought and wisdom and learning and all of these things. You can still see, and this is what amazes me, is you could see buildings that are still standing now, despite all these wars. I mean, the Turks, the Ottomans put a bunch of explosives put them in the Parthenon for use during World War One. Someone fired a rocket by mistake somewhere, ignited this whole thing, and blew the Parthenon to pieces. This is a temple that stood for 2,600 years. And then some idiot decides to use it as a gunpowder store, you know? And they're busy rebuilding their cranes all over. They're trying to put the blocks in the right place again. But it's just wild to think that in those halls, you know, Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, these are the kind of people who would have walked around there. These are the people who would have walked around there. And I think that's fantastic. It just makes me super excited. And you stand and you think, that rock could have been a rock that one of those people touched.
Yep. So look at you.
You're such a nerd. He's like coming alive.
That's the rock Plato touched.
I mean, it is. It's fantastic.
I'm touching Plato.
So you get degrees of separation. So we were staying in two different hotels, two sort of separate parts of the city. And the other guys were all staying in a place called Academia, which is where the academy comes from. And these days we talk about academia being the universities, you know. And this is where Plato founded the academy, which was a place where men would go. They didn't let women learn this stuff then. Women were busy doing pad needlework or whatever else it was and raising the kids. But the boys would go to the academy to learn. And it wasn't about, like, now we're going to teach you about what you can do to make a living. Now we're going to teach you about the world. This is where you're going to learn philosophy, the love of wisdom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic. We don't do that anymore. No one studies for the love of wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and also, you can't get a bank loan if you have a if you have a philosophy degree. Am I right? You go to the bank manager, you're like, yes, I need to buy this house. Or your personal banker comes back to you and goes, what do you got as security? I'm a philosopher.
I love.
Not so sure that's going to work. CliffCentral.com.